Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29, and I will be reading from the New International Version. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there a male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, till we do something. Among various commentaries, the one that sticks out to me is Dr. Ann Griffin's comments on this, not just chapter, but several chapters from Galatians, where she reports, and I think accurately, that this changed the nature of faith because the notion of not being legalistic but being bound by the love of God as it's expressed in Jesus changed. And she says that this is probably the most important letter Paul wrote, and he wrote roughly a third of the New Testament. So that's a pretty powerful claim, that justification by faith is all we need. That's all we need. Galatians 3, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 10, contains a series of arguments against the tendency of the Galatians to become observant under the law. There's two elements of these verses, these chapters, which are challenging to us as modern believers. The first is the real concern of the Galatians to become law observant is likely without parallel today. We can't get our minds quite around that. Very few Gentile Christians are eager to become like Hasidic Jews. Yet congregations still are tempted towards all kinds of legalism, which provide a sense of security. That notion of, if you do this, this, and this, you're saved. If you don't, you're going to burn. That kind of a notion. That's a kind of theology that appeals to some. And I would say more than some. People want that kind of security. The other part of this is the question of how am I to be a Christian? Tell me the rules. This ties to the second problem with the text in modernity. Paul's thinking about Christ is both real and symbolic. Paul casts Jesus as a cosmic man to whom all Christians are called to follow. All are called to follow. Through faith, we have a relationship to Jesus, and in that relationship, we are called to be like him. And that's that notion of that among the more famous lines from 328, there is no longer Greek or Jew, no longer slave or free, no longer male or female. All are one in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying faith has come to this, and to this we belong. The notion of letter writing in the 21st century is being lost. As a matter of fact, there are some sociologists and cultural anthropologists who believe that handwriting will disappear. I don't know that that's true. I don't know how many more years I have, but I still scrawl notes because I think it's important. Yes, I know how to text and I know how to email, and I think they're important and wonderful inventions, but there's something powerful about handwriting. Dr. Griffin, who I mentioned in the opening part, talks about the power of letter writing through history, leaning on Paul's comments, but she wrote how letter writing has been important throughout recorded history. One of the most famous sets of correspondence in history, she says, is the letters shared between John Adams and his wife Abigail. In one of these, Abigail, exercising a wry wit, lobbies her husband for a larger role for women in the government of the new country that will one day be known as the United States of America. "I long to hear that you have declared an independency, and by the way, in the new code of laws, which I suppose it will be necessary for you to make, I desire you would remember the ladies and be more generous and favorable to them than your ancestors. Do not put such unlimited power into the hands of husbands. Remember, all men would be tyrants if they could." Only a wife could say that, right? "And if particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion and will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation." And this letter is dated March 31st, 1776. The notion is these many years after Paul's writing of there's no male or female, no slave or free, no separation. We know that that's not true. There are things that sound soft but are harsh, like glass ceilings, which keep women in places not as powerful as they are capable of being. And in the church, while we in the United Methodist tradition ordain women, we've only been doing this since 1956. That's not that long ago. We need to be mindful of all of this as we look at what God calls us to do. Where do we belong, and who belongs with us? This article from the LA Times by Maria Lagagna, I saw this and plucked it out. I'm trying to see where it was. May 26th. And it's about women becoming priests without the Vatican's blessings. And it's a very long column, but it shows women being active as priests in the Roman Catholic Church. They don't want to leave the church, but there's such a shortage of priests, and women in the name of faith have stepped up. "The church does not acknowledge ordained women or the sacraments they offer," and there's a canon law. This is tied directly to canon law. The two women featured in this article are Marie, who is a deacon, and the Reverend Victoria Rue, who is the priest of a parish. They don't meet in a Roman Catholic church because they don't want to get anybody in trouble. But what they do is they stand within their faith tradition, and they, in their terms, they demonstrate a radically inclusive God and theology. They start service robed, and as they move into the service, they remove their robes because they don't want to be separate from the people they serve. There's the one quote when they were asked about being excommunicated. If you are baptized, you cannot be unbaptized. If you are called to the table that God calls people to, you cannot be excluded. Well, we know that that's true, but they are not recognized as full and effective members, and yet they have this wonderful ministry. So what does it mean to belong? To whom do we belong? They're saying they belong to God, not to the Roman Catholic Church. And I understand this. A number of years ago, somebody asked me about being a United Methodist minister and being faithful to God. And I said, I understand both. But if you ask me, am I called by God to be a United Methodist minister? Yes, that's at least half true. But if the choice for me is serving God or serving the United Methodist Church, there's no doubt for me. I'm called to serve God. I love the United Methodist Church, and I'm glad to be part of it. But if I was asked to choose between serving God and serving the United Methodist Church, I would choose serving God. So how do we exclude people? This is one way, by keeping them. We make it a country club. The other ways we do this is we invite people in and then pull something back. There was a Daily News article Wednesday, June 16th, about hiring actresses for a movie. And it was very specific. It's apparently an internet casting call. They were looking for women of a certain age, women dressed a certain way, and so these actresses showed up to the casting call. Find out that it was a prank, literally a movie within a movie. Now, some of us are old enough to remember Candid Camera with Alan Funt, and it all seemed like good-natured fun. But now, in modernity, the term is being owned, and not in a good way, or being punked. And that's what happened to people. These women showed up only to find out that they were victims of a prank. Well, Paul is writing that faith is not a prank. He's telling us that God is writing the order of worship. God is writing the rule book, and the rule is love, the first and highest order. That a community founded and rooted in love is more powerful than one with rules. There's a this is also from May, and it's from the Daily News. It says, for 50 years, the Red Sox at Riverside, the Cadets, has been making history. And it's Susan Strait writes this article. And it's about the, I got to get their names right here. Oscar and Josefina Medina started Zacatus in 1963 in a former donut shop with stools and a counter. A few blocks away, they moved a few blocks away, but the business is still in, and it's three generations of their family that run it. People have been going there because it's community to them. Customers have been married there, and it means something to them. And the rule is, you don't have to be a certain way or look a certain way. You just have to come and want to be part of community. And that's what they do. The one of their daughters is mostly in charge of the restaurant now, Susan Strait says that now Vicky bends to hear an abuela whose hair is covered in the sheerest chiffon scarf. Maybe she has served a million tortillas at Cicadas. John eats breakfast. This is the mom and dad. John eats breakfast at the counter, surrounded by customers as two of his daughters, the next generation, put the small bowls of red sauce on each table like a benediction. That's what it means to be part of community. You eat, you drink together, you share your lives with each other. There's a give and take in community. Paul had taken from community. This is the word you shall believe. It has to be this way. Hit them with the law. And then he experienced the love of Jesus. And the law had no meaning. Only love had meaning. Only inclusion had meaning. Who do we belong to? And how do we continue to be part of community? Those are the questions for the church. There's all kinds of debate on what's going to happen to this church or that church, and it's well known that in the United Methodist tradition, we have suffered since 1969 a continuous decline, mostly in our farther western churches. Now, whether that says something about who we are or whether it says something about the culture around us, you can debate. I believe that the church is still a powerful sense of community. We have a message that's worth sharing. But we have to want to share it. You and I, not just the institution. We have to want to say, hey, let me tell you about something. Whether it's the Bunko Bunch or the choir or some Bible study, that's what we're called to do. We're called to invite people into community. Now, it's okay if you don't want to write a letter. But it's not okay if you at least don't want to text or tweet. We're called to share the message each and every day in ways that make sense to us. May it ever be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.